Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Dick Birnbach, your host for tonight. Tom Garcia is off at an undisclosed location and will be back with us Wednesday. Tonight, I hope we're going to have a very informative program for you. I'd like to start out the information on the program by talking about Lloyd Marcus. He was on the show last week. On that portion of the show, we were discussing why more black people are not involved in the Tea Party movement. Lloyd was on that show at my request and discussed that subject. How we got into it is Lloyd and I were talking, and I had mentioned to him that in the civil rights movement, the mixture was about 50% black, 50% white. And now we have something else going on in our country that is a large problem. And everything seems to be white, and the blacks are sitting off in a different direction. My wife was reading a book, American History in Black and White, by author David Barton. And reading through it, it clicked an awful lot. And I asked my wife if she would come on tonight and talk about what she read in the book and give her thoughts on what the blacks are feeling as far as Democrats and Republicans. My wife's name is Ann. Are you on, Ann?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you start out any direction you so feel?
Okay, well, this is one subject that I've been thinking about for a long time and never could quite understand. Why black Americans now vote almost all Democratic instead of Republican? Because the preponderance of history tells us that it was the Republicans that promoted the eradication of slavery, and all the civil rights for African Americans came from Republicans in all aspects, especially voting rights. And I just couldn't quite understand it. So after reading Franz Kibro's book, Stolen History, I got a lot of information from his book also as to some of the historical dates, some of the things that were passed, and what the backing was between Republicans and Democrats. And I thought that's great, but obviously somehow they've forgotten that, and I don't understand why. So I thought I would read David Barton's book, American History in Black and White, to see if I could get any more answers.
Isn't Franz Kibro, his basic book is about the black slaves and also the white slaves, because not all of them were black.
Yes,
I would imagine some of the stuff in there has to do with the Democrats and the Republicans as to who was in power.
Yes, he does cover that a lot, but there is also a section on the civil rights and the amendments and all that kind of stuff, and does a very good chronological order. And we'll get back to that in a minute. I'm going to read a little bit from both of those books. I'm just going to start out with saying that the Constitution was signed in September of 1787. It was ratified in 1788, and George Washington's inauguration was in 1789. I referred back to Making of America, of course, the Constitution, even Thomas Jefferson's, the real Thomas Jefferson, and both Stolen History and American History in Black and White, to try to figure out the chronological order of all these things and how they all fit together.
Let me ask a question before you go too much further.
Okay.
With George Washington as a president, was the Democratic Party formed at that time, or was it Whigs and something else?
I'm not sure exactly what they were. I know they were Whigs, and I think Federalists were...
Whigs and Federalists, that's what I was thinking of, yes.
Yeah, the Federalists were the ones that wanted a more powerful government.
Right, the Whigs were more or less what the Republican Party stands for today.
Sort of, more or less. I'll get into that in a little bit. But
okay.
I'm thinking to understand this, I need to go back through some of the history as to what happened. Why was there a three-fifths of a person clause in the Constitution? And I think it's considered now that that was demeaning to black people. And unfortunately, they don't understand that the reason that was put in there was to appease the Southerners who were Democrat. That party was started by Thomas Jefferson. The reason he started that party and called it Democrats, because he wanted to get away from the Federalists and the big, powerful central government. The Democrats, and especially the Southern Democrats, were more states' rights, keep more of the power in the states. And that was a good idea. So Jefferson started this Democratic Party. Unfortunately, soon after he died or just before, it started to be co-opted by the Southern pro-slave Democrats. And I think Thomas Jefferson would be turning over in his grave now if they've seen what they've done to his party. So that's why I wanted to start back with the Constitution. They needed proper representation. The Southern slaveholders wanted to count each slave for representation. That would mean every 30,000 people would get a representative. That would give too much power to the pro-slavers, claiming people that can't even vote and that were considered as property. Totally wrong. So to come up with a compromise, they decided that the three-fifths clause for representation would keep the representation down enough that they could eventually pass legislation to outlaw slavery. They also, at that time, through my readings, they found out that for an appeasement, slavery was kind of fallen by the wayside. It wasn't that, it was awfully expensive. So they agreed that by 1820, slavery would be abolished, mainly by attrition. Unfortunately, Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. Well, now they could use the slaves to gather more cotton because they did not have to pick that cotton apart and get the seeds out by hand. Unfortunately, then the slave owners decided to change their mind on all that. It was now more profitable to have the slaves. So that's where we are with that. It was just representation. They did not want people to be represented, that the people who owned them thought they were just property. That was just a horrible situation. Okay. I think I covered Thomas Jefferson a little bit. There were other laws passed by the Democratic Party was in majority at this time, by the way, with Thomas Jefferson that became a large majority. They damaged the abolition slavery movement. Thomas Jefferson tried to pass for abolition, stop slavery time and again, and it didn't work. In the 1850s, they passed the Fugitive Slave Act. Now, this was by a Democratic majority. That virtually gave sanction to people to kidnap African Americans, free men or runaway slaves, and return them to the South. Because the South did not recognize any free men, if they took black free men down there, they were put back into slavery. They actually put posters up warning free black men up in the New England states when these slavers were coming up to look for runaway slaves. After then 1854 came, there was the Kansas-Nebraska Act. It repealed earlier restrictions on slavery in the Kansas-Nebraska-Missouri territories. Well, that was the last straw for the abolitionists. And that's when the Republican Party was formed, because they wanted to return to the principles of freedom and equality that was first set forth in the governing documents of the Republic before the members of Congress perverted these original principles. Therefore, in 1956 presidential election, six of the nine planks of the platform were bold declarations of equality and civil rights for African Americans based on the Declaration of Independence. That's when the Republican Party was formed, and it was formed expressly to free the slaves. There's one little story here. There's a Republican senator named Charles Sumner that was almost beaten to death on the Senate floor by a Democratic representative, Preston Brooks, for backing this platform. It took this man 3.5 years of recovery before he was able to return to the Senate. That's how badly he was beaten. The Democrat platform that year was all defending slavery. In 1857, the Democratic-controlled Supreme Court passed the Dred Scott decision. At that point, blacks were not considered persons. In 1860, the first Republican president was elected on an anti-slavery platform. Of course, everybody knows that's Abraham Lincoln. But the reason he was elected? The Northern and Southern Democrats favored slavery, both North and South Democrats. But the Northern Democrats were not willing to split the Union to back slavery. Therefore, there was a split in the vote, and the Republican became the president.
So what we've got at this point in time is the Democrats are already trying to keep the blacks within slavery, not wanting to release them. And you have a Republican Party that is saying, free the slaves, they are men too.
Absolutely.
They're equal to everybody else.
Absolutely. Before 1860, the Democrats were in control. And afterwards, not only did we get a Republican president, but the Republicans, for the first time, controlled both houses. Back then, the states' rights was a euphemism for holding blacks in slavery and then subjecting them to what they called black codes, segregation, and institutional discrimination. And I feel now that's what welfare and inner-city substandard schools and living conditions are doing, and all those programs were put in place by Democrats. Okay, now we've got the Republicans in power now, so yay, what did they do? In 1862, they abolished slavery in Washington, D.C. In 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation freeing all slaves was signed. January 1st, 1863 was the first slave-free day in America. And in 1864, there was a Freedmen's Bureau set up, equal pay for soldiers, fugitive law, slave law was repealed, over a unanimous opposition from the Northern Democrats that were still in Congress, by the way. In 1861, there was a Confederate Vice President, Alexander Stevens, that's the Confederacy, that slavery is the cornerstone of the Southern Confederacy. Although prior to this, he agreed with Thomas Jefferson that slavery was fundamentally wrong and a violation of laws of nature, and that it would pass away. After secession, Stevens changed his tune. Now those ideas were fundamentally wrong, and it all rested on the assumption of equality of races, and that wasn't true anymore because of the Dred Scott decision. Okay, in the 5 years, I don't know how many people are aware of this, probably not a whole lot. In the 5 years after the Civil War ended, there were 23 African Americans that were elected to office. You want to guess what their party affiliation was?
All Republicans.
They were all self-taught, self-educated. They were ministers, lawyers, and state representatives. That's quite a message right there. From there, I want to go into Fronsky Breaux's book a little bit, because that gives us a little bit more of the background and who voted for and against. In 1854, there's a Republican Party is formed on one platform, anti-slavery. In 1865, there's the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, enacted by a Republican Congress with 100% Republican support and only 23% Democratic support. In 1866, there was a Civil Rights Act of 1866, which extended rights to emancipated slaves and enacted by a Republican Congress. In 1868, we have the 14th Amendment, which gave citizenship to newly freed slaves, and that was enacted by a Republican Congress with 94% Republican support and 0% Democrat support. And in 1870, the 15th Amendment was passed to ensure the right to vote for anyone, regardless of their color or past servitude. That's the right to vote for blacks. It was enacted by a Republican Congress with 100% Republican support and 0 Democratic support. You're kind of getting a picture here. In 1871, the Civil Rights Act of 1871 was an anti-Ku Klux Klan bill to protect Southern blacks and whites supporting Republicans from the Ku Klux Klan, enacted by a Republican Congress. I want to stop there for a minute. In my reading, the Ku Klux Klan was formed expressly to get rid of Republicans and reform a Democratic majority in Congress. The only way they could do that was to start killing Republicans. Now, every single black freedman voted Republican because they were the ones that worked to free them. So not too many people know that it wasn't really because they hated blacks so much as they hated Republicans. Because there were probably half as many whites also hung and killed because they were Republican. I think they picked on the blacks mostly because they were easy to pick out. You'd have to figure out whether the white was Republican or Democrat before you could kill him or something.
I see something else here also. At that point in time, with the education that the blacks had, it was very easy to intimidate them not to vote in the first place and to keep them in line with what they wanted.
That's absolutely correct. When some of these bills passed that have to be accepted by the states, they put in their own laws, poll tax, literacy tests. These literacy tests were not whether you can read or write. Some of these were 20 pages long questions that just the blacks had to answer. And I've read a couple of those questions in David Barton's books, and I don't think anybody even sitting in Congress would be able to answer those questions. It was impossible. And, of course, they did that on purpose. Okay, we're getting up to 1875. It was the Civil Rights Act of 1875, prohibited discrimination in public accommodations. And that was the one that was written by Senator Charles Sumner. That had 99.5% Republican support and 0 Democrat. Now we're going to skip up to more present day. In 1957, the Civil Rights Act of 1957, that was President Eisenhower. They established a Civil Rights Commission proposed by Republican President Eisenhower and written and introduced by Republican Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen. A little side note from that, Senator John F. Kennedy voted against the bill.
Now, if I remember right, President Eisenhower couldn't get that passed because there were too many Democrats in power at that time.
That's correct.
And it could not get passed. There was plenty of Republican support, But I believe the Democrats had control at that time.
And that is correct. The we'll be getting to that in just a second. I want to expound on that. In 1960, the Civil Rights Act, which passed, established federal inspections of local voter registration polls. That was proposed by President Eisenhower also. What a lot of people do not do is they know which the president's Republican or Democrat, but they have no idea who controls the House and the Senate.
But you were talking 1960. At this time, Kennedy is president. Just becoming president, okay.
Okay. Now, what happened in 1963, we had the Birmingham riots.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kennedy sent the Eisenhower-based bill and started pushing it to be passed. He never did see that pass, though. He was assassinated first. Then President Johnson picked that up, and they did push that through.
Did he get that passed, or was that executive order?
Eisenhower used an executive order to stop some of the discriminatory things. But
okay.
President Kennedy sat on an equal housing bill for 2 years before he used an executive order to sign that.
So even though Kennedy comes out the hero in this, he was actually fighting against it and wanted to keep it down.
When he was senator, he voted against it.
Right.
And I think the Birmingham riots in 63 kind of put the writing on the wall. Now the Democrats are saying, okay, we can't stop this. This is going to go through. I think that's when they started their other tactics. Okay, if this doesn't work, we'll try something else.
But still at this same time, Kennedy was fighting his own party to get this through.
Yes, he was.
It was not a slam dunk for him. I'm the president. All you Democrats just fall in line behind me and pass this. He had to fight them to get them to vote for it.
Oh, right. There was a filibuster, very long filibuster, that was finally broken up by Republican Senator Everett Dirksen, and that was the key to the writing and the passing of the bill. And the final version was written and introduced by Republican Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen. And the vote totals on the Civil Rights Act of 1964...
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats did better, 80% Republican, 63% Democrat. Senator Robert Byrd filibustered the bill. Al Gore voted against the bill. And William Fulbright, Bill Clinton's mentor, voted against the bill. And all in all, Republicans have supported civil rights 94% of the time, to the Democrats 35% of the time in the history of civil rights laws. That's incredible.
Okay, now, what is your impression, if I can jump, I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead on you. We've got all of these black people today that want to vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would you want to vote Democrat?
that's a very good question. There's a couple of, a couple of quotes in here.
What I'm thinking of, unless my thinking is wrong, is you have John Kennedy, who is up there with Martin Luther King, saying that we got to do something about this, and he's a Democrat. And the black nation is saying, yay for the Democrats, they're trying to do something for us.
Okay, yeah, but I don't think anybody realized that Martin Luther King was a Republican.
I don't think half of the blacks out marching today know that he was Republican.
No, I'm sure they don't. I think what happens is it's very easy to remember what party the president belongs to, but they don't know who's the head of the House or the Senate or the dynamics of how things get passed. Mm.
And
they just don't know.
Also, by the time this finally gets passed, Lyndon Johnson is now the president, another Democrat.
Right.
So it must be the Democrats that are doing this for us and taking care of us.
I think that's what they're thinking. There's let's see. Let me go down to this part. This is from Republican Joseph Hain Rainey, who nearly a century earlier had declared, "We intend to continue to vote so long as the government gives us the right and necessary protection. And I know that right accorded to us now will never be withheld in the future if left to the Republican Party." Now, I believe that Joseph Hain Rainey was black. Now, there is a paragraph in here from David Barton. I don't know where he got this from, and this is what I'd like to see if anybody out there knows any information. And I'm going to read this part. "It is significant that over recent years, a popular rumor has been widely circulated across the African American community that if Republicans were elected to Congress or the presidency, they would not extend the 1965 Voting Rights Act and would, in fact, remove the right to vote from African Americans. Certain provisions in the 1965 Voting Rights Act must be periodically renewed by Congress. Many in the African American community have believed this rumor, and surveys have indicated that a belief in this rumor was a substantial cause for voting against Republicans. Even though the NAACP has condemned the longstanding report as totally false, the 15th Amendment to the Constitution guarantees African Americans the right to vote, not the Voting Rights Act. It has been an effective political tool for Democrats to use against Republicans. In fact, in the 108th Congress, when Republicans proposed a permanent extension of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, it was opposed by the Congressional Black Caucus, composed only of Democrats, for fear that they would lose an effective political tool against Republicans." And that's where we're sitting. I don't know who started that rumor or whether that's true, but I really trust David Barton. There's an awful lot of footnotes to go to original documentation in the back of that book.
Okay. I would like to bring out a couple of points here.
Okay.
I'm trying to get my thoughts in order. At one time with the welfare system, when it was set up, of course it was actually started during the Depression, but when it was set up, white people without jobs were given more money than the black equivalents with the same size family, with the thoughts being the blacks are lazy, they don't need as much food to sustain themselves. Therefore, they got more money. This was set up by the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Later, it was changed, and everybody got the same amount. Now, what the Democratic Party is looking at, first, they didn't want them to have their rights to vote. They wanted to keep them as slaves. They wanted to keep them down. Even when they were freed as slaves, you can't vote. You're not really people. You are still property. Once, now we're talking the 60s and such, blacks are now able to get more money on welfare. And they find out the more children they have, the more money they get. Where they can be making some very good money yearly just by having a large family. The blacks have decided this is another way to keep them down. We will actually give them a small amount of money. And we'll keep them, we'll have special housing for them. It's called the projects. And I have been in a lot of the major cities, but up north, they actually have high-rise projects. Most of them consist of two, maybe three-story apartment buildings for the projects for the wealthier people to live in. And now this also includes white people that are living in the projects. But in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, they have some high-rise projects which are 45, 50 stories high that they're packing the people into. This is another way for the blacks to control them. For the Democrats to control the blacks. Look what we have given you. You have got a place to live. It doesn't cost you anything. We are giving you money for food. We are taking care of your medical costs. Everything to keep control.
That keeps them at one level. It does not let them get above that level.
At one point in time, when welfare started out, part of the welfare program was they sent people out from the welfare department to train you to find work and to help you find work.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that when the welfare system was first set up, it was supposed to be only for whites.
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was not supposed to be for blacks at all. Have you got any thoughts, Paula?
I'm kind of on the fence about everything because, you know, the black people are put on the black on the back burner. You know, the Native Americans are put on the back burner. It would be nice to have to get the word out that, you know, they need to get out and vote, and they need to be educated correctly about, you know, how their vote counts, and not to sway them from one side to the other, but they're it's hard for me to explain. I mean,
I think I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. Everybody, not just the blacks, because the whites have done a heck of a job of messing things up here.
Mm-hmm.
We need an education program as to who really stands for what.
Correct.
We've got some black people in Washington that you would think would be trying to help the black people out, and they could care less about them. And I'm not talking about the president.
Right.
I believe Charlie Rangel is black.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a hoot and a holler about the black nation. Charlie Rangel is out for Charlie Rangel, and the people that vote him in office should wake up and realize it. What we need is a good education program, and that's what I wanted to try and get across tonight. Things are not what they seem. The people that you think are helping you are not helping you. They're hurting you.
Well, can't we say that for most of the people in office and in general? You know.
Can I say?
You can, but basically the Democratic Party has done everything they could to subdue the blacks. And everything the Republican Party has stood for, although not all Republicans believe in the same thing. I will go that far.
Right, right.
I need to say something in here. A lot of Democrats think they are helping. Absolutely. They absolutely believe it. Their heart's in the right place. The problem is the progressive movement that has co-opted both the Democratic Party and a lot of the Republican has gone a long way to erase the truth in our history. That's all anybody needs, white, black, anything, is the truth in history in order to make up their mind what is the best way for the country, what is the best way for them, and who is really their friend and who isn't. Trouble is, after that, you have to figure out whether that Republican is really progressive and therefore not. It's very complicated, but they do not have a chance. They do not have a chance because they have not been taught any of the truth. How can you make up an informed decision if you're fed with nothing but lies?
Exactly. And going on that truth lie, you know, right on Rangel's website, he comes out and says in an October 6th press release that he's proud of Occupy Wall Street protesters. Now, if I'm looking at this correctly, he's a congressman who serves the people of New York's 15th district. Now, he's proud of the Occupied Wall Street protesters, and he goes on to say that, this is on his website, in quote, "It is truly historic when we see union groups, leaders like Minority Whip Steny Hoyer and House Democratic Caucus Chairman John B. Larson and fellow members in the Congressional Progressive Caucus all come out in favor of the Occupy Wall Street movement. This new wave of support gives me renewed hope that we can bring about change in America." And he goes on to talk about more stuff, and he says, you know, at the end, "I lived through the civil rights movement, marched from Selma to Washington, and have witnessed what happens when people unite. That's why I was glad to visit Liberty Plaza on Saturday to lend my support. I encourage more of my colleagues in Congress and the religious community to stand with the people on Wall Street to help Occupy America. Together we can take back our country. My thought process, my opinion, all that should have been done in Washington, D.C. They should have sat on the White House steps and said, 'We're tired of what you're doing.' Not any of this going on in Wall Street, because really, that all goes back to, from what I understand, it goes back to whoever regulated the banks."
Right. Yeah.
So for him to stand behind what the protesters are doing on Wall Street, in my eyes, that's ignorance. That's ignorance leading ignorance.
Absolutely.
What I'm seeing on the news and reading on the internet, they're going out asking these people, "What are you doing here? What do you stand for?" And number one, there is no organization, and everyone has a different reason as to why they are there. Now, they're talking about Wall Street, all these people being there. I think I know why people like Rangel want them there. But they weren't saying that when over 1 million people marched on Washington.
Right.
Charlie Rangel was not there saying, "This is good. We can get our country back on track. We need these people here."
Right.
Matter of fact, Charlie Rangel was talking against the Tea Party.
No, and I don't think it's right that you know,
mm-hmm.
the public in general doesn't have their facts right if they don't know what they're doing and what they're following. And specifically the topic that we're on tonight, you know, the black...
Right.
Population, we don't know about it. You know, how much of it do they know what's going on? How much of it do they understand, you know?
Well, my point, and it was the same point with Lloyd Marcus, if they would attend Tea Party meetings, 9/12 meetings, and just listen, take down information, ask questions, and then do their own research.
Yep.
Most of these people do have a computer at home.
And it doesn't have to be a Tea Party meeting. It could be...
No, it doesn't.
It could be any side. All they would have to do is to go and get all their information from all the sides, whether it's the Republican, the Democratic, the Tea Party, whatever. They need, in order to make their voice heard, because I believe that that's a complaint amongst not just them, but the general population. My voice is not heard. My voice is not heard. Well, if you want your voice to be heard and you need your vote to be counted, go out and seek your information, not just from one side. Get it from all sides, and then sit down and decide which is the side that you want, which sounds like the right side to you. Talk to more people and get your information right, and then determine who you're going to take out and who you're going to put in.
Right. I believe they do have to get informed, but there's a man that has played the role of, he's an actor. Most of his life he's been known as a comedian, has written many books, records, etc. His favorite character is Fat Albert, none other than Bill Cosby.
Yep.
Bill Cosby is very outspoken, and one of the comments Mr. Cosby makes, and I think it's a fantastic comment, "We have heard from you, black people. Now shut up and listen to what the white man has to say. It's his turn to speak." And being a retired officer, I can relate to that, because all groups, when they're in a large group like this, they try and talk over you. If you are, say, let's say you're a senator and you represent a black district, and you go to talk to the people, they will all talk at once, and every time you try and say something, they will keep on talking. They will not shut up and listen. And that's what Mr. Cosby's comment is based on: shut up and listen.
You know, Dick, I think, I'm going to really tick people off here. That's not necessarily only a black trait.
No, it's not, no.
It's a liberal, far-left trait.
Yes.
I remember that white guy down when we were campaigning with Tom Garcia did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep talking, so they don't have to listen to what you have to say.
Exactly.
Then they don't have to change their opinion because their facts are wrong.
You're right. It is not just the black people. It's any group of people that want things their way and want you just to listen to them. They don't want to hear what's right or what you're thinking in reaching a compromise someplace in the middle if there's a difference of opinion.
No, if they have their mindset like that, I don't think there is any getting through to them.
There, I worked, Paula, you mentioned the American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a number of them on the police departments, and there was one, he was a deputy sheriff with Hennepin County in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention his name, but he was very proud of his heritage, and he is against anybody that sits back and hollers, "Poor me, give me something." Poor you? Fine. Go out and get a job and make something of yourself. And when Russell Means and a few others of the American Indian movement started causing problems, I won't use the words that he used, but he called them horses, patooties, and moccasins. He has no respect for them whatsoever. He feels that people like that, and I think we can relate to a lot of people in Congress that use their position to keep people down so that they still have a position.
Yeah.
And
I'm looking at his website now.
Who's that?
Russell Means.
Russell Means.
Oh, Russell Means, yes.
Yeah.
Now, if the Indians were not complaining, what would Russell Means have to do? He would be on welfare, or he'd have to go out and get himself a job.
Right.
The Reverend Brother Jackson, he is another one. Blacks can start to riot, and if a bunch of whites beat them up, Brother Jackson, Reverend Jackson, is right there saying, "Look at these white people beating up these black folk." But if the black folk beat up on the white folk, where is Brother Jackson complaining? Does anybody hear from him? The one I was referring to was a football game between two high schools, and several blacks started a bunch of problems and started fighting with a couple of whites. Well, unfortunately for the blacks, They were soon outnumbered and had their butts kicked. And Reverend Jackson was up there screaming about the schools and where is the protection. What he was finally convinced of is if they weren't causing problems in the first place, they wouldn't have gotten their butts kicked. So go back to wherever you came from and quit causing problems here.
Mm-hmm.
It's people like him, if they are not keeping the blacks down and using the blacks to support them, they would have nothing. They would be nothing. And I can bet you if Dr. King was alive today, if he had not been assassinated, the Reverend Jackson would not be in the position he's in. And Martin Luther King wouldn't have a thing to do with him. There's a point that Ann brought out that was very interesting to me. NAACP. Do you remember what you told me about that, Ann?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
What are they against?
Aha,
I caught her off guard.
I want to find the exact... Here. Okay, the rumor that voting for a Republican would be voting against the Voting Rights Act and the voting rights for black Americans would be taken away. Now, the NAACP has condemned that longstanding report as totally false.
And the blacks will not listen to
them. And they're not listening to one of their own, supposed own groups.
I find that very interesting because they usually speak for the black nation.
Yeah, what really gets me is the Congressional Black Caucus, which is all Democrats,
mm-hmm.
that they're all black. They were making a stink because they did not want to give up their effective political tool against Republicans. Now we have a more modern day personal experience with that.
Right.
And do we dare bring that up now?
My whole point is, I want the black nation to wake up, do some reading, do some research, and find out what is really going on. And it's not that I am supporting the Republican Party 100%, because there's an awful lot in the Republican Party that I would like to see in prison, along with some of the Democrats that are in power.
Absolutely.
But if they don't wake up, if they just say, well, this person's Democrat, I've got to vote for him. Or this person is Republican, I have to vote for him. In the last election, I've seen some Republicans get elected. That was one of the worst things that people could have done. One of the very worst. I almost would have rather seen a Democrat get the job than a Republican. But what I was hearing from the Republican Party is, at least the person's a Republican.
That doesn't count. Not my book, not anymore. I'm sick and tired of what they say, settling for the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to the point where they're so close, I don't know which one is worse. That's we've got to go back to the principles of the Founding Fathers. Their character and what they stood for was the most important thing. They did not have political parties.
Mm-hmm.
When George Washington was elected, there were no political parties. None.
Well, no, he was the first one.
Yeah. They voted for him by merit.
They seen what he stood for in the war and what he did for the country. And him and the rest of our founding fathers they did not have to get involved in this. They were all very wealthy men of their time. They had their own fortunes. They could have let the British play their silly games, and it wouldn't have affected them very much one way or another. In fact, I believe George Washington even had a few slaves. But these men, because of their character, they took a chance on not only losing their fortunes, but also losing their lives had they lost the war. If they had not been killed in the war, they would have been found and executed afterwards.
Very true. And some of them were captured and killed. So I don't know. I just think finding out what I know now today, after reading an awful lot of books, I was so upset with all the stuff that I was not taught, that I was misdirected when I went history, civics, all that stuff. I was astounded. I was upset. I was angry. I wanted to throw books into the pool. It was not fair. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering what, I don't care if you're black, white, or what color you are, what they would think if they actually read these things from history, found out the truth, found out what really does work and what really doesn't. How angry would they be that they were lied to?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get them together and say, okay, now that you know the truth, that's the past. Now we make sure we keep telling everybody the truth. The history does not change, and we include it in everything so we all can make informed decisions. Now let's stand together and figure out what do we do together as a nation to fix the mess we're in, because we need everybody standing together. It's like Lloyd Marcus says, I am not a hyphenated American, and I can't wait until we can all say that and mean it.
Very good. And on that note, we should give Paula the last word.
Well, I want to thank you both for taking over the reins this evening and coming up with a great topic to discuss, and I hope it puts the bug in people's ears. And I want to say we got some good news last week. A shout out to our troops serving overseas. Troops in Iraq, you're coming home to your families by year's end. Your families will have you home for Christmas, and we love and miss you dearly, and we're looking forward, you know, fingers crossed and candles lit and prayers done, that the rest of our troops will come home to us very, very soon, sometime after that, we hope.
That would be very nice, and I could second that.
Yeah, wonderful.
And thank you for your help tonight, Paula.
Hey, you're welcome, and I will see you on Wednesday.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.